Tokusatsu, taking the form of many shows including Super Sentai, Kamen Rider, and Metal Heroes. And today, a group of fans come together to review it for you as Toku Secrets.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Toku Secrets podcast presented by AnimeSecrets.org. I'm your host, Nathan Dessau. And today we're going to be trying a different little thing. We hope that this will catch on to here on the podcast. We are actually going to be doing something called, I like to call Clash of the Toku series, where we are going to take two series. It could either be a Power Rangers season, two Power Rangers seasons, or two Sentais. You know, or maybe in a rare case where we've seen, where all of us have seen it, we could take a Sentai and the Power Rangers counterpart, and we are going to compare them to definitively say which one is better, because here on Toku Secrets, we are the supreme arbiters of what is good and what is bad. Not really, but whatever.
No, we are. We are.
So... in this case, we want to start off a little small. So we are actually going to be doing a, it's actually kind of fitting that we're doing this, seeing as we just finished a series reviewing one of these particular seasons. We are going to be pitting Dino Charge versus Dino Fury, which is the better dinosaur season. And whoever wins this one gets the opportunity to face Dino Thunder in a face-off. Now, whichever one wins might lose that one, but... we'll get to that when we get to it. Yeah. I have Riz and Anthony on here. We hope you guys enjoy this one. So here's how the format is going to go, ladies and gentlemen. We have split up this into discussions of story, villains, rangers, where each of the rangers get a rangers. So red, black, blue, green, pink, and the sixth ranger. Both of these seasons had the same color scheme, actually. And any other additional themes. And each of us get to vote on who is the better character or has the better subject. And whoever has the most votes at the end in total wins.
And one thing that Nathan doesn't know yet, but we're also going to be voting on who has the better morphin sequence.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I have spoken as the ultimate arbitrator, and it is my decision now to also vote on who morphs better.
So with that said, we will start with, so I will basically go over each of the subjects, and I'll give a basic rundown of it, and then we can have the discussion. So with that being said, let's start off with story. Both of these seasons are actually, it's actually kind of unique that we're judging both of these seasons because they're both pretty different from their Sentai counterparts, or at least I'm away. I haven't seen Ryu's Soldier, so at least I think that Dino Fury is different from that, but I could be wrong.
Entirely different.
I have seen Kyoryuger, though, so I do know of a Dino Charge... differs greatly from that. So, with that said, story for Dino Charge really quick. So, the main story of Dino Charge is that the Rangers are recruited by an alien named Keeper to assist in locating these 10 crystals called Energems, which back during the time of the dinosaurs, Keeper brought to the Earth, and they bonded to 10 dinosaurs, turning them into Zord-like vehicles. And they, while attempting to find the Energems, they must battle against a bounty hunter named Sledge, whose ship crashed onto Earth and wiped out the dinosaurs. It got a little bit complicated with Dino Supercharge. Like, truth be told, I don't remember much about with how it changed with Dino Supercharge, other than that a new guy named Heckle took over. So, you know, but we can talk more about that when we get to the discussion portion.
Yeah.
With Dino Fury, which also has two seasons, it revolves around the Rangers attempting to defend the world from aliens led by a man called Void Knight, who was attempting to collect these things called Sporix that were unleashed from the planet Rafcon many years ago. And Sporix turned into monsters. So they're both pretty similar, actually. So yeah, I think this is where, you know, that kind of discussion goes. Truth be told, if I was going to think about story, I would probably have to lean toward... I personally think that Dino Fury has the better story because here's the big thing that really irked me about Dino Charge, and maybe you guys don't agree, but I loved the first season of Dino Charge, but my problem was that, and this was one thing that really turned me off with Dino Supercharge, like, they give, like Dino's Charge has this big ending where, like, everyone goes their separate ways because Sledge is supposedly destroyed. But I was thinking that, like, the season premiere was going to have, like, this big event where they all, like, get together. Yet, they act as if nothing really big has happened in that first episode. Like, it didn't come off like a premiere, if you guys know what I mean. Like, do you guys know what I'm trying to say?
It felt like a continuation of the previous season. Like, today, we destroyed the big bad and we're done with being Rangers for the most part. But then the very next day, hey, we're back at the command center hanging out, doing stuff.
Well, it's not just that, but, you know, Dino Fury feels consistent from start to finish. Like I feel like the story, both seasons look pretty similar. The problem with Dino Charge is that when I watch Dino Charge and Dino Supercharge, they both seem like two totally different seasons. Like with Dino Charge, the first season, you know, has a lot of story and, like, you know, a lot of big events. And like with Dino Supercharge, it's just a bunch of like filler episodes and like fart jokes and all that. And it just feels really far removed from what we got from the previous season. But what do you guys think?
I get what you're saying is, for me, I think Dino Supercharge was honestly like a downgrade for me as well. The story was just kind of like all over the place, and like the whole, I mean, I guess you could say, like, you know, like only thing that really happened was that, oh, we found who Tyler's dad was, and other things, and it's like, I don't know.
So the reason I like season one more than season two is it makes more sense as a story.
Yeah.
Season two, I feel like I tried to do too many things at once. Like, we had Heckle as a villain for a bit. We had the search for Tyler's dad. And then we had that really bizarre ending to the season with the time travel stuff where dinosaurs are retconned to be part of the main universe. And that's the divergent point from where Dinosaurs leaves the prime universe of Power Rangers and becomes the Dinosaurs world, as they refer to it as in Ninja Steel.
Yeah.
And, okay, I think dinosaurs are cool to like say that they exist in our world, but it's just a weird thing to me that they did that. Like, it's a cool thing for like 5 minutes, like, oh yeah, cool, that's awesome, but when you think about it, the dinosaurs should have caused way more mayhem in the beginning.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it should have been like Jurassic Park. Dinosaurs gone wild. They're eating people, they're destroying buildings, they're giving no craps. But somehow, like, that's not an issue.
They act like they're giant pets, and that's not how that works.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't necessarily think they handled the ending the best they could have. I think there's a lot of stuff they could have done a lot better for...
I blame Keeper.
I want to talk about finales, too. So... You know, there's one, I don't think I mentioned this in our Dino Fury in-game thing, but if there's one thing I really like about the Dino Fury ending, and I haven't seen Beast Morphers or Ninja Steel, so I can't comment on this, but one of my biggest gripes with some more recent Power Rangers seasons is how, like, the finale doesn't always feel like they're defeating the villain in the most conventional way. Because, like, and Dino Charge, this is something that really made me angry. Like, instead of there being, like, this big, epic final battle between the Rangers and Sledge, it's more like the Rangers just attach Sledge to his ship and then fling it into the sun. Like,
That's not climactic. That's very, like,
yeah.
Just because.
While with Dino Fury, it's about Zato having to, you know, Zato finishes the main villain in, like, a big sacrifice where he has to use this sword where if he uses the attack, it could kill him. And they think it does kill him for a little bit. So, I don't know. Like, with Dino Charge, the finale felt so anticlimactic. While with Dino Fury, mm-hmm. even though it does lead to, like, a cliffhanger leading into Cosmic Fury, it still felt like a genuine finale. Like, you know, the Rangers, they defeat the villain, and then there's, you know, a little bit of, like, some room to breathe, and everyone's mourning Zato's death, and then we get, like, a couple of months later where we see what the Rangers are doing after the battle is over. Like, that is finale stuff that I like to see. Dino Charge doesn't have that. It's just, like, they defeat the villain, and then everyone goes home, and then, oh, my God, dinosaurs are back now. And then that's it. Like,
so one question I want to ask y'all, because all three of us started off with Mighty Morphin, right? Like, that was our first Power Ranger for the most part. So we all grew up with Lord Zedd. And do you guys think our nostalgia for Lord Zedd might be blinding us a little bit to Dino Fury? Or do you think, regardless of our nostalgia for Lord Zedd, that his story arc and the ending with the Rangers, you know, saying they have to go after Zedd and Cosmic Fury, do you think that contributes to the feelings we have towards that?
Not for me, because honestly, like, I liked the Lord Zedd arc, but even if I removed that, I would still lean toward Dino Fury, if only just because.
Hang on there. The ending of Dino Fury, where Zeta comes back, if we didn't have Lord Zedd stuff, that would never have happened. And it would have ended with the Rafcons building the base and inhabiting and becoming part of society. Like, that would have been the last scene. Yeah. We wouldn't have 6 months later with Ollie as the interim team lead. We wouldn't have Zaito come back as the white-red ranger thing that he is. And we wouldn't have the mission to go after Lord Zedd.
Yeah, but then they could have done something different that would have been just as great. Like, you know, them, like, all, like, it establishing that they all visit Zaito's grave or something, like, every 6 months or something, like, to show that they're still together as a team. I mean,
and see, that would be cool, and I would agree with you there. But I'm just using the question of the nostalgia. So,
I mean, honestly, not like even if you were like even if they did something completely different with Zato coming in and like saying, "Oh, we have to go after Lord Zedd," I would still like even if that didn't happen, I would still lean toward Dino Fury's finale just because it feels more like a finale with like the 6 months later and the epilogue. Well, and I mean, they defeat the villain in a really climactic way. I mean, again,
the entire fight at the end is really well done. It's choreographically, it's whatever. Like the Dino Fury fights at the end where, hell, even Ion surfs down that monster's arm on the, whatever their henchman's called. That scene was really good Toku, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that was it's funny, but it's not funny in the haha fart joke way, you know? It's to a more mature audience, even from that point of view.
I mean, the one thing that clouds my bias probably is just how much that Dino Charge final battle just really pissed me off. Like, I still can't stand how they beat Sledge.
Yeah.
Like,
heck, the finale, the season finale in the regular Dino Charge had a better finale in that than it did in the actual finale.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the big thing that gives me that makes me put Dino Fury before Dino Charge is that with Dino Fury, it feels like Dino Charge and Dino Supercharge both feel like two different seasons. Like, if I'm looking at Dino Charge alone, then okay, maybe it would have a shot against Dino Fury, but it has to be attached to Dino Supercharge. And
agreed.
There's just so much that Dino Supercharge does with the story that really bogs Dino Charge down. And I'm not going to say that Dino Fury is flawless with its story, because it's not. I mean, yeah. One of my biggest complaints that I had with Dino Fury is that there's a lot of episodes where a lot of big things happen, but it's attached to like a really stupid plot, like Zato having to learn how to control his Dino Fury armor, but it's attached to an episode where Javi is, you know, competing with them. Guy for a singing contest. Like, that's stupid, but at least I feel like Dino Fury and Dino Fury season 2 are both consistent with each other.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys want to say anything? Like, should we just give Dino Fury a clean sweep here?
I think we should give it an actual number score.
Like, okay, well, it's one equals 1 point.
Oh, okay. I thought it was that we give like a score out of 10 or something. Okay, so, yeah. And yeah, I think Dino Fury gets the win here.
Okay. Do you agree, Anthony?
I agree.
Okay. All right. So it's Dino Fury 3, Dino Charge 0. All right. So now we're going to move on to villains. So the villains, okay, this is another one where I feel like Dino Fury has a little bit of an advantage here, unfortunately.
I mean, it does, but like, we can at least talk about it first.
Yeah.
Okay. So the villains with Dino Charge, we have a bounty hunter named Sledge, who's an American exclusive villain, by the way. And then after that, it's mostly pretty much the rest are, villains taken from Dino Charge. Like, there's, Kyoryuger. There was Poissandra, who was from Candelilla. I know Fury, who was Dogold's counterpart. What were the names of the little green dude and the... And Igaron's counterpart? I can't remember.
I think Lucky. Lucky something?
Lakiru was the green one. And I'm trying to think who was...
They're not important names.
Drawing a blank for some reason. I don't know why. Dude, they were much more important than Kyoryuger, but I don't remember what he was called.
Okay, this isn't a good start for Dino Charge.
I mean, okay, so honestly, like, the way I would look at Dino Charge villains, it doesn't matter who, like, the supporting villains are. You got Slebs, you got Heckle. Nothing else truly matters for when it comes to villains and Dino Charge.
Oh, no, I know, we know that, but we're just saying, like, what's the Japanese names for these characters?
And I think it's the same with Dino Fury, like, it's Void Knight and Void Queen. None of those other villains really matter, like Mucus or...
It comes down to Void Queen, Void King, and Lord Zedd for Dino Fury.
Yeah. So...
Agron, that's his name, Nate.
Agron,
what was his name in Dino Charge?
Wrench,
okay.
It was Rent. Yeah.
Okay. So to be honest, okay, I don't remember much about Heckle. Although, to be fair, I think Heckle has a little bit of an interesting edge because, you know, any villain with a human form automatically has an advantage over, like, some main villain who's just a person in the suit. But I would probably lean toward Dino Fury here just because, I don't know, Void Knight might be Void Knight slash Void King, Tarik. Let's just call him Tarik. I honestly think that he might be my favorite villain out of this whole bunch. And I would honestly put him in possibly the top 10. Okay, maybe not top 10, maybe top 15 villains in Power Rangers overall because, you know, he starts off at, like, you think that he's an evil person, but it turns out that, like, he's only doing this because he wants to revive his wife. So I always love villains where, you know, they're not really evil. They just want to do something, like, they're trying to help someone that they love, and they're willing to do it no matter what it takes. You know, that's why I, you know, kind of, you know, it's like, I guess to use a Marvel Cinematic Universe example, it's like Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming. Is Vulture evil? No, he's just, he wants to take care of his wife and daughter, and he's willing to do something incredibly bad in order to do it. But is he evil? No. And it's the same thing with Tarik. Is he hurting people? Sure. But if that's what it takes to revive his wife, then he'll do it. And that's why, like, I think he makes the series. And even Void Queen. I mean, Void Queen is a little crazy, but, you know, in the final episode, when we find out why she wants revenge on humans, even she has somewhat of a relatable edge. And I just don't think any of Dino Charge villains have that human edge to them.
No, because Sledge is all about just the energy center world dominance and power, right? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a very cliche trope. Wait, what
is it? It's the space curse that they use, apparently.
What is Heckle all about, though? Because I can't remember much about him. Like,
oh, Heckle was only evil because of the Dark Energem, and I think, what was his name?
Snide.
Snide was just like his evil personality. They had like a Jekyll and Hyde personality, even though they were both evil.
I mean, I think that's kind of interesting. Like, I thought that Heckle was somewhat entertaining, both because he has a human form, and also I'm pretty sure his Snide monster form is also American exclusive.
His monster was like from, he was used in the Kyoryuger and Go Busters and Team Up, I think.
Oh. Okay, well, even then,
it's supposed to be the Japanese version of Zeltrax's counterpart in its super monster form, I think.
But, okay, so he's like a guy who's just under mind control. I mean, I guess that's cool, but it's still nothing compared to, like, two people who thought that they lost their daughter and are being driven insane. Like, there's more of a human edge to that, if you know what I mean. Like, what do you think, Riz?
I agree. Like, this Heckle's a cool character, but I think Void Knight did it better.
You think so too, Anthony?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, yeah. This is a pretty easy to... I had a feeling that villains were going to be, like, a really easy thing to discuss here.
Now, I will request... I would like to give a half a point to Dino Charge for Heckle, because Heckle was a good villain for Dino Charge. And I don't think it's fair to say they don't get any points for that just because Dino Fury did it better.
Okay, so we could give Dino Fury 2.5 and then...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right, that makes sense. I'll allow that this time. Just because okay. I want to... I don't know. I want Dino Charge to get on the board at some point. So,
well, it's not just getting it on the board. I'm speaking to merits here, and the merit is that Heckle is worth some points.
Mm-hmm. And I know that Lord Zedd is technically part of Dino Fury, but it's just one arc, and
technically it's two arcs.
I just think that we should reserve talking about Lord Zedd later on when we like compare Mighty Morphin to one.
Yeah.
May God have mercy on the soul of the one that goes up against Mighty Morphin. Unless it's Power Rangers in Space or Power Rangers Time Force, in which case that'll probably be a fun fight.
Yeah.
Nostalgia or fan favorite?
Right.
All right, so now we're going to be delving. This is actually where things are going to get interesting now. We are going to move on to Rangers. Thankfully, this season does have the same Ranger colors, red, blue, green, black, pink, and the sixth, which in both of these cases is gold. We'll talk about Dino Charge does have some additional Rangers. Maybe Dino Fury technically does with Void Knight, but he's with the villain. So we'll talk about the Auxiliary Rangers with Dino Charge a little bit later. All right. So Red Rangers, we have Tyler Navarro. I think that's his last name.
Yeah.
Whose story is that he is looking for his dad, who has disappeared, and most of the series is just... So he starts off in the series as someone who's just journeying around the world looking for his dad, whom he lost. And he becomes the Red Ranger when he comes across the Red Inner Gym. And then we have Zedd for Dino Fury, whose story is that he was the leader of a group of Knights of Wrathcon who were... And he was actually responsible for releasing the Sporix. And he was the leader of the Knights that had the powers of the Rangers. And then he was sealed away many years ago. And now he's been reawoken. And he's assisting. And he's the leader of the Rangers. And he also kind of acts a little bit like their mentor, since he knows almost everything about the Wrathcon battle, and like how to use their Ranger stuff. So you could almost say that Zedd is kind of like a mentor.
He's kind of like the best example you can give here is Doggy Kruger.
Mm-hmm. So looking at this now, this is a little bit hard because I really liked Zedd, but the thing is that Tyler has a lot of things that happen to him throughout Dino Charge. Like him wanting to find his dad is great. I like Tyler's personality a little bit more because, like, Zedd was just kind of your stereotypical, like, stern, fearless leader type of person, while Tyler's a little bit more, like, energetic. And Tyler has a romance story with our Pink Ranger Shelby, which actually does amount to stuff because, you know, they do admit that they like each other and they're holding hands and stuff at the finale. So it does amount to something. This is what this series was meant for now, because now we get to have some very serious discussion, because I can't think of off the top of my head who I like better here, because Tyler has a little bit more of an arc and like stuff that happens, but Zedd is also pretty cool. What are you guys leaning toward?
Anthony, you want to go first or can I give my opinion?
As far as like, I initially, this is my thought process was before Zedd even was even a thing back then. If Zedd didn't exist back, didn't exist now, I would have said, Tyler's actually a decent Death Ranger, because after 4 years dealing with both Jaden and Troy before that, yeah, you could say he's a better Ranger. But as far as like story elements go, I would honestly say that Zedd is better, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, so I'm going to remind our audience of the scene where they're on planet Rafcon and Zeta's describing their hometown, and you can see all the scenery and you can feel the emotion of, you know, the happiness of Rafcon, them being home. And this is a journey that we've seen Zeta go on from the beginning of the series until now. Like, everything he has done since he was awoken from his time stasis, whatever, has been to find out what happened to Rafcon. Every couple of episodes, we get an update. He's still trying, no results, no dice. And it's moving to have him finally get there. And it's even more nice when he gets to find more Rafconians in the future, like with the traveling Rafconian base that came to help him at the end. Like, there's a lot of things that are just emotionally charged for Zato. Tyler has a very similar thing. So both Reds here are looking for their family in essence. Tyler's directly looking for his dad, and Zato is looking for his people. And so if I'm going just on emotional merit of who had the better story and who gave the better delivery of what they were looking for, Zato gets my vote there. If we're talking about who's the better leader, because remember, the Red Ranger thematically is our leader. And when we decide who's the better Red, it's not just who had the better emotional story. It's also who was the better field leader, who was the one who could lead better. And on that merit, I have a hard time because Tyler was a great leader to the Dinosaurs team. But Zaito was also a great leader because of, him being a mentor, him knowing the way of the Dinofury powers and teaching everyone how the Rafcon stuff works and how to use their powers and all that. I mean, for crying out loud, he taught the team how to morph.
Right.
That's not something you see very often. I can think of two examples off the top of my head. There's probably others. Andros taught the Space Rangers how to rocket. And Zen taught Wes how to morph into a Time Ranger Red.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, when you say that, I probably lean a little bit more towards Zato. And
that's the thing, is there are two things for Zato, but personality-wise, I like Tyler better. And so now the question becomes, for me at least personally, does Tyler's personality outweigh Zato's story and his leadership? And I'm going to have to say no. I think Zato wins this one.
And looking at it now, I think something that may give Zato a little bit of an edge is that Zato makes a huge sacrifice at the end when Tyler doesn't. So he also gets points for nobility. Not saying that Tyler isn't noble, it's just Zato did something more noble.
Well, I mean, if circumstances were different and Tyler had to, I believe Tyler would have.
Well, yeah, but
So for example, If we're looking at the Reds throughout history, I don't necessarily think Nick from Mystic Force would have made that sacrifice as willingly. For example.
Yeah.
Carter would have been a heartbeat. Andrus would have been a heartbeat.
Wes in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Jason Yeah. Zach would have hesitated a little bit, in my opinion.
Connor from Dino Thunder probably would have.
He would have hesitated as well, I think.
Yeah.
Troy would have... I don't know what Troy would have done, man, because I don't know what Troy's personality is.
You have a lot of myself!
So I think Zato gets the point for me because of his Rafcon story, but also the sacrifice at the end. Plus, he wasn't just a leader. He was also like a teacher to them.
Okay. Do you go with Zato too, Anthony?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Dino Fury gets another clean sweep for the Red Ranger. There we go.
It's turning into a bloodbath.
Right now it's 8.5 for Dino Fury and only half a point for Dino Charge.
You're welcome, Dino Charge. You're welcome.
All right, this one we might be a little bit nicer to Dino Charge. Blue Ranger.
Okay, Coda wins. Done.
Okay.
Coda wins. 3 points. Done.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, yeah. So to talk about it real quick, though, Coda's character is just so great. There's a thing I don't like in other seasons where... Okay, so Coda, for those that don't know, Coda is a caveman who was frozen with the Energem, and he was awoken centuries later in the real world of today. And even like a season later in Ninja Steel, he still holds on to his caveman way of life and his way of talking. This is not something that's very common because... So, Maya and Cole from Wild Force, Maya from Lost Galaxy, by the way, they were both taken from a very secluded world. Maya was on Mirana, which had a very different atmosphere and environment than the Terra Venture did. And Cole was a forest boy who didn't really know anything about the world. But within like two episodes, they were basically like any other normal human being in that time period and in that world. And to a lesser degree, I would say the Time Force Rangers had the same thing where they didn't have that much of a struggle to fit in despite being from the year 3000. But with Coda, they acknowledge that, yeah, he's from a different time, and they play him so well that he has broken English, he has no understanding of a lot of these modern concepts.
Yeah.
So that's why I give it to Coda. But for Ollie, I do want to talk about Ollie for a minute, just to be fair to him. Also, he's a good character, in my opinion. Ollie is a man of science. He's very intelligent. He's like the Billy of Dino Fury. And he fits that role really well. He has a lot of growth because he starts off mocking Amelia the Pink Ranger because of her belief in Bigfoot and UFOs and paranormal activities. But as the series progresses, he falls in love with her. He starts to accept not the belief that these things are real, but he accepts that other people want to believe in it and is okay with it. And those are some really big strides. If Ollie were against other blues, I'd probably have given more thought to Ollie getting the win here, but not against Coda.
I mean, it's weird because ultimately here it kind of comes down to like, who do we pick? Because Ollie has more of an arc and he develops, but Coda is just fun to watch.
Well,
so.
Coda does develop though, right? Because over the span of two seasons, he acclimates to the world around him, but he also maintains his identity.
Yeah, but
Coda is a good development for him.
Coda is just more as a comic relief character, though. Like,
well, yes, he is comic relief.
He's really not funny comic relief.
Hmm?
Oh, really funny comic relief, by the way. Not like, all the jokes. That's another reason why I like Coda, because a lot of the jokes that they do are actually genuinely funny. Like when he sees something scary on the TV and he picks up a stick and like slams it against the TV. Like, that's genuinely funny, you know?
Yeah. And another thing, like, whenever you think of Blue Ranger, because of the archetype set by Mighty Morphin, you think that Blue is the calm, collected, intelligent, scientific-ish minded guy like Billy is. Coda's none of that, but they're very blessed to have Kendall to fill that role for them.
Indeed.
So Coda's allowed to be a goofball here, because the role that Blue would typically fill is met somewhere else in the team.
Because even I've said this, I've literally made a meme about freaking Coda and freaking Noah from Super Megaforce. Is that like, I got outclassed by freaking Caveman? And like, yeah, because we like the Caveman more than we like you. Yeah, you're the smart one, but you're not compelling.
Yeah.
And I think it's about the, not saying that you know, he can't be compelling, but it's like Coda has more enthusiasm. He's very, like, just aware of his surroundings. He's very, like, just, you know, and he's very noble. Yeah. Very, very noble. Because even when Prince Philip, for instance, was talking trash about him, saying that, oh, he's scum, he's trash or whatever, Coda still saves his life. And he's like, why'd you save me? Yeah, he's like, yeah, you're kind of a jerk, mean prince, but I'm still going to save you regardless.
Yeah.
So I guess we give Dino Charge the clean sweep here for Blue.
I mean,
pretty much. Not even a contest, I'm sorry.
All right, cool. That gives Dino Charge 3.5 versus Dino Fury's 8.5. Unfortunately, the next subject is not going to be too kind for Dino Charge, Green Ranger.
Well, that depends. That depends what Anthony does here.
Oh, yeah, no, we're definitely picking easy. I'm sorry. I like the character, like the suit, but this is not Kill You Green, so no.
No, Riley is boring. Okay, like, I cannot remember a single thing from Riley. Like, you know, this is going to be a really short discussion. I don't remember a single thing that he did. Like, he is just not interesting. Now, I do want to say this one thing. It's actually kind of interesting that we're comparing these two Rangers, because Izzy is openly a lesbian, so she's like part of the LGBT community. What's funny is that Michael Tabor, who played Riley, he actually said that he was portraying Riley as being gay, and he had a crush on Chase. Funny thing is that if that actually happened in the show, that would have been interesting, but unfortunately, it's not. So,
no, that actually
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. That would explain. There was like one episode of Dino Supercharge, I think, where like I think Riley was going up against his like high school bully rival or whatever, in like some race or contest, and he kept using the inner gym to, you know, try to win his race for him and whatever, but it kept messing up. And then there was one particular scene where, like, the guys were shirtless saying, like, go, Riley. And I'm just like, okay. That kind of makes sense now.
And then I don't even want to give it props for, like, the rivalry between Chase and, like, because, like, Izzy being a lesbian, that's 100%, like, that's 100% original. Riley and Chase having a bit of a rivalry, I don't even want to give the writers props for that, because that's directly taken from Cure Uger, because Ian and Soji, like, there's multiple episodes where they clash. So yeah. I don't want to give Dino Charge points for that.
And we're not saying that, oh, because Izzy's gay, then that means that automatically means she won without any contest. No.
No. Izzy struggled a lot. And yeah, she came a long way.
The gay lesbian character. She has a compelling arc. She has You know what I'm saying? Like
the things that Izzy goes through, categorically, she first gets a girlfriend in the middle of the season, and they develop, and you can see the romance at different stages. It's not like an off-screen thing like Andros and Ashley or Tyler and Seldy, for example. I mean, that's more off-screen. But here, it's more on-screen. You can see them holding hands more often. They go on little dates. They study. They train together for their athletic stuff. And that's a... You got to remember, these are teenagers. Well, okay, Izzy's a teenager. How hard is it for a teenage girl in this day and age to come out to her family that she is gay, first of all? Second of all, how hard is it for her to navigate a relationship at that age, straight or gay? Doesn't matter. And so she's juggling all that with the immense parental stress from her father, because he wants her to do a certain thing to become this great athlete and go to university on scholarship, blah, 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 whatever, like the big great American dream. And that's a huge stress as well. And she has to deal with that. And then there's the thing at the end with her and Fern and the almost breakup. Like the scene where I said it before in our Dino Fury podcast, that episode made me tear up. And it's because of Izzy's performance here. Not because she's gay. It's because of her performance and the emotions she invoked. And it's because over the course of 2 seasons, she built a character that we all liked. And when we saw her struggling, we felt for her. And that's not something I can say for Riley.
Yeah.
So, Nate, I give this to Izzy, hands down.
Same here. And I think Riz said it better than I could have said it, so.
Oh, I knew Izzy was going to win this before we even started.
I did too. I already know who's going to win.
I know Riz was like, earlier was like, wait, is he gonna pick Riley over Izzy? And I'm like, no, why would I do that?
I don't know. I just had this memory of you liking Riley a lot back in the Dinosaur's airing.
At first. But he got boring.
Yeah, I remember at the beginning. Yeah.
Because honestly, his season with Chase actually make him better as a, like if without Chase, he's nothing.
Yeah,
and Izzy, I think we all agree that Izzy was like the favorite from Dino Fury. So
yeah.
All right, so Dino Fury gets 3 points, clean sweep. So it's 11.5 for Dino Fury, 3.5 for Dino Charge. All right, Black Ranger. I'll give a brief rundown of both of them. For Dino Charge, the Black Ranger's name is Chase, and he's from New Zealand. They frequently say that he's from New Zealand, which I appreciate. You know, they don't try to force that he's from America and try to, you know, have his actor put on a really fake accent, you know, something that I'm really glad that they didn't do it, unlike other season Operation Overdrive. But he was the first Dino Charge Ranger to be recruited when he found the inner gem from a fortune teller, and he loves skateboarding and he's kind of a playboy, you know, hitting on women and all that. And in Dino Fury, the Black Ranger is Javi, who is Izzy's older brother, adoptive brother. No, not adoptive, a stepbrother. Sorry about that. And Javi, you know, he wants to be a musician and, you know, become a professional guitar player and singer. And, you know, he writes his own songs. And in particular, during season 2, we give him an arc where he... often clashes with his father because his father doesn't want, you know, wants him to find a better career, but, you know, he finds the nerve to stand up to his father. This is actually a little difficult because I think both of these characters do a lot of changes. Like with Chase, he has to learn to, you know, not be as big of a jerk and like be as, you know, self-centered as he normally is. Maybe I lean toward Javi a little bit though, because I think we can all relate to the arc that he goes through where he clashes with his father. Maybe, like, okay, I don't necessarily relate to that because I don't have, like, a really rocky relationship with my dad. But, you know, maybe other, like, maybe people back at home can relate to that. So you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
What do you guys think, though, like, comparing Javi and Chase?
You can go first, Riz.
I have no strong opinion either way for these guys. Like, Javi is a good character. I liked him a lot in Dino Fury. Did he do a lot? I mean, he did stuff. But I don't know if he's necessarily better than Chase in this regard.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Like, I definitely, like with Izzy, Javi had to think of his dad and to press her to do something beyond music. But I don't know if that was enough.
I do remember that I thought Chase was my favorite of the first five. So maybe that gives him a little bit of an advantage because, I don't know. I mean, he's also very similar to his Sentai counterpart, and Ian is really cool. I love Ian. So yeah. I might, if only just on that, I might lean toward Chase. Like, this is actually kind of difficult because they're both great characters.
When I do like a, for Incident Rangers, I've been doing like an instinctively first thought, who wins? And on that first impression here, I give it to Chase. But when I start to really think about it, I don't really care either way. So I think based on that, I would kind of give it to Chase.
Okay. I'm probably going to vote for Chase too. So that's two. Anthony, you want to give it to Chase too? Or,
I give it a Chase.
Okay. It's nothing but clean sweeps here so far.
No, it's not.
Well, okay, aside from Dino Charge getting that half a point.
Look, man, it's an important distinction to give.
Yes. All right. So Dino Charge gets 3 points, bringing it up to 6.5. Okay, this one's going to be interesting. Pink Rangers. So both of these characters, Shelby Watkins and Amelia Jones, they're both, okay, I don't want to say that they're completely similar because they're not, but they both have, you know, the one thing that I say that, you know, makes them really similar is that they both have, they're both very passionate people. You know, Shelby's arc is that she has a lot of interest in dinosaurs, and at least in the second season, I remember her having moments where, you know, she clashes with her dad because her dad wants her to become a businesswoman. By the way, her dad's played by the same guy that plays Scott's dad in a RPM. Are they related? No, they're not.
Here's a canon. Here's a canon. No. Here's a canon for you. Selby is Scott's sister in the RPM world, but she doesn't live long enough to be seen in RPM.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And in this dimension, he just didn't exist.
Yeah. Because keep in mind, Dino Charge takes place in another continuity, just like RPM. It does. Didn't they establish that in Dimensions in Danger?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. It did, yeah.
So there's that. Shelby has a little bit of a Shelby is more of a tomboy. You know, she likes to, you know, get her hands dirty. You know, she likes to, you know, get into like the thick of it and everything. And she has a bit of a rivalry with Kendall. We'll talk about that a little bit later, though. And she has a romance story going on with our Red Ranger, Tyler. Amelia, okay. Amelia might have the edge here, too. So Amelia's story is that she lives with her grandfather, her papa, as she calls him. She has an obsession with ghosts, and she loves to, she's always investigating stories while being part of she's a journalist, and she works for an organization called the Buzz Blast, and she's obsessed with, you know, paranormal, but she doesn't know what happened to her parents. She often clashes with Ollie, because Ollie is more of a, you know, man of science, but they do end up together at the end of a series. And at the end of a series, we get a huge plot twist. And I know we're technically spoiling this, but we spoiled it in our Dino Fury finale review anyway, so whatever. We find out that she is actually the daughter of Void Queen and Void King. They were both from RAFCON, and they left Amelia in the care of her papa, who was, you know, just a human that, you know, kind of like, you know, how Superman, like, you know, the Kents are technically his parents, even though they're not related. So papa is to her what the Kents are to Superman. So there's that. Okay, this is difficult. Ashley, you guys go ahead and say first who you think is better.
Anthony, your turn. I've gone first the last couple times.
This is going to be real tough. I mean, normally I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll pick this person over this person. But like, these are both really good Pink Rangers. So it's like...
Honestly, Selby saved the main cast of Dinosaurs from being boring.
Oh yeah. Yeah, most definitely.
Selby and Coda saved the cast. Tyler, too, to a lesser extent, but yes, not as much as Selby and Coda. Mm-hmm. Selby, like Nate said, had a very big personality. She was very overeager, very passionate about dinosaurs, had to prove that she knew what she was talking about, and, you know, see butt heads with Kendall on dinosaur stuff, despite Kendall having these degrees and, you know, the research to back it up. And I think C was a really good character because of that. Amelia, to me, taking out my complete bias that I love Amelia and I love Hunter Dino, like Hunter Dino, the actress that plays Amelia, I want to be her best friend. Like, C is so amazing as an actress, and I love the Amelia story a lot, like so much. But
she's a very nice person, by the way. I've met her.
Yeah, I know. You got me a cool little video from her. Yeah, thanks, by the way. With that said, honestly, when we began, my gut here said to give it to Amelia, but the more you look at Selby, you can't. But you also can't give it to Selby, so I'm going to split my vote here and give it to both of them.
Yeah, this is really difficult because, like, there's one scene from Shelby that plays rent-free in my head that it's in the very first episode where she's, like, distracted by dinosaur-related stuff. Because in the first episode, she works at that museum. I can't remember what it's called. That's, like, the secret base for the Dino Charge Rangers. She works at like the food stand, and she's distracted by something, and then she brings people the wrong food, and then they said, "Hey, I didn't order that. I ordered this," and then she says, "Oh well, oh no, that's not what happened." She brings them food, and then she says, "Miss, we didn't order yet," and then she says, oh, well, you see, I read your minds and I figured out what you wanted to, you know, I wanted you to order. Like, that type of awkwardness, like, I can't, that's what makes it impossible for me to want to vote against Shelby. You know?
Right.
I can't. Yeah. Honestly, excluding Ninja Steel, because that's just one of the worst seasons in the world.
Indeed.
The Saban Hasbro female leads have all been very similar in that way. They're both very big energy, both very passionate. Because
not Mia from the Neo Saban from Samurai, but that's beside the point.
Okay. I don't count Samurai and Megaforce when I say all this, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, okay. If this was Mia or Emma versus Shelby, then Shelby would win this, and like that would be like a bloodbath there.
Oh, there'd be no question. It would just go to Shelby automatically. But here, I'm giving my half point to Shelby and half a point to Amelia.
Okay. Anthony, you haven't had a chance to be part of this discussion, so go ahead and say something.
Well, like Riz said, it's really, really, really hard to make a decision because, like, both these characters are good. I mean, yeah, I think Amelia had, like, a little bit more going on for her, but, like, at the same time, it's Shelby. You know what I'm saying? It's Shelby. Like, she does things. Like,
I'm cool with Riz splitting his vote, but I don't really want to split my votes that much. I'm actually going to vote for Shelby in this case.
Okay. I'll split mine. I'd rather just split mine because I want to like just. It's only this is the only one I actually prefer to do a split take on this one because they're both just that good.
Okay, then that kind of comes out to one for Dino Fury and two for Dino Charge. So. It's now just a 4-point deficit, 12.5 to 8.5. So Dino Charge is kind of catching up here.
And now we hit the sixth ranger.
This is going to be easy.
Ivan, I'm all the way.
Now, I do have a little bit of a bias toward Ivan because, you know, we've talked about this multiple times. Anthony, like, so I met Davey Santos at Power Morphicon 2018. And then Anthony and I actually shared a shuttle ride to the airport when we were going home. So he was pretty cool. Just to give a brief thing on their stories, Ivan is pretty similar to his Sentai counterpart, except you change it to a knight instead of a samurai. So he was a knight for the country Xandar, and he found the gold inner gem, and then he was trapped inside Fury for a little bit. While with Ion, he's also a former knight of Rafcon, and a former ally of Zato's, and he was, you know, sealed away beneath the sea, but then he gets revived and then joins the Rangers. Yeah, I don't think this is much of a contest. I mean, we talk about how much we don't like Ion. Like, I think we all agree that he might be the worst Sixth Ranger.
Yeah, bar none.
No. He's not the worst.
Wait, who is the worst?
Tizone's worst.
Oh. Yeah, maybe, probably. Okay, I don't want to say...
Bubble Knight.
No, Robo Knight was good, man. Robo Knight was like one of the few good things about Megaforce.
But he was terrible. He has moments of being like, nah, but he's okay.
Okay, that's fair. But I'm gonna give my vote to Ivan only because it is one scene where he gets annoyed with the Rangers and he goes off and he tries to recruit random civilians to form a new squad. So he gets the traffic guard, he gets the lady in a wheelchair, he gets the referee, because they all exhibit something that he thinks makes them warriors of this new world he's in. She thinks the referee calling the maps and telling the big players what to do is a sign of strength. The traffic guard, because he can tell people in these big vehicles to stop. And I don't remember why the wheelchair lady was there, but she was there too. But that scene alone, just, it cracked me up. And I don't care about Ivan at all. Like, his actor may be really cool, guys, but I didn't really care for Ivan as a Sixth Ranger to begin with. I also didn't really care for Ion as much. But that one scene, if I had to pick between the two, that one scene does it.
Well, I think in general, like, Ivan is just better because, you know, he's a lot like Coda, you know, someone who's in a different time. And, you know, we see him talk in, like, you know, like we see him talk in this British accent and, you know, talk with, like, you know, a very chivalrous language, which I think is great. Davey Santos has a pretty good accent, by the way, because that's not his actual accent. And you can tell because there's a scene. Like, there's an episode where Davey Santos plays, like, a descendant of Ivan, and he's speaking in his actual voice. So, I think we probably should just give the, like, I don't think there's much of a discussion, because we thought that Ion was annoying, which he was. I mean, I don't want to say anything too bad, because Jordan Fight was nice to me when I ran into him at Ranger Stop Atlanta, but, okay, Jordan. No, go ahead.
No. All I was gonna say was that when we get to the thing, the Ninja Steel thing with Levi, that how you're feeling is how I'm gonna feel when we get to that point. Because I'm Jordy Bro is such a nice guy, but like, I hate Ninja Steel.
but here's the good thing about that, Anthony. If we ever do a Ninja Steel versus anything, it would probably be versus Operation Overdrive. So if we compare Jordy to Tizon, then Jordy gets the advantage there.
Oh, so. That's perfect. Yeah. If
wait. I know we're not talking about it right now, but there's no contest. Overdrive loses, like, in a bloodbath.
I know, but I don't know. I think it would be nice for us to just have a video where we have an excuse to actually rip Operation Overdrive to pieces.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give the 3 points to Dino Charge for the Sixth Ranger, which means that Dino Charge is still closing the gap. 12 and a half to 11 and a half. So this isn't as big of a bloodbath as it started off as. Dino Charge is starting to make a bit of a comeback. I think when we give, like, you know, best morphing sequence and, like, miscellaneous, do we want to briefly talk about the extra rangers within a Dino Charge?
Okay, so this is where a new system is something I struggle with, because I can't judge the auxiliary and extra rangers because there is no equivalent on the Dino Fury side. So I would put them in the miscellaneous subsect, I think.
Well, I think here, okay. I think for this, like, for additional rangers, we can talk about, like, okay, so there's 4 auxiliary rangers. Let's say that, like, for the ones that we like, we can give half a point, and then we just won't give any points for the ones that we don't like.
I think the better approach is a quarter point.
Okay.
So that way, at the most, they give 1 point per person.
Okay. So auxiliary rangers for Dino Charge, Dino Fury doesn't get any. So 0. But you know what? I think we should be nice to Dino Charge since they got off to such a rough start. So we have 4 to make it a total of 10. We have So first we have Kendall, who starts off as, like, the Ranger's mentor, like, technical advisor. She becomes the Purple Ranger. She was before her, there was a Purple Ranger, Albert Smith, but he's only in one episode, so I don't think he holds enough weight for us to give any real points. We have Tyler's dad, James, who becomes the Aqua Ranger. We find out that he bonded to an Energem many years ago and was, hiding to keep Tyler and his mom safe from Fury. Philip, the Graphite Ranger, who is the Prince of Xandar, Ivan's old country, who comes across the Graphite Energem, and his story is pretty simple. He only has one episode where he really has any development, and after that, he's just kind of there to help them every once in a while. He wants to, become a ranger because he grows to admire the rangers for their bravery. So, pardon me. He goes through an arc where he, tries to make himself better, and then when he saves a little girl, he becomes the ranger. And then we have Xeno Wing, who becomes the Silver Ranger, who's... I can't really remember much about Xeno Wing. Like, could you help me out here, Anthony?
What are you asking me again?
Xeno Wing. What was he about, the Silver Ranger?
Oh, yeah. So apparently, he was intentionally the first one to actually get to become a ranger in Dino Charge all in continuity. I think he was like the very first ranger, ranger in Dino Charge, technically speaking. I think he was the first one to get an air gem and become the Silver Ranger. He fought, what was his name? He was the main villain in Kyuryuger, but he had a lesser role in this one. I remember Doomwing was they share the same body, I think, in one point, and that's why when the Silver Ranger that the Rangers see when they first see him, it's not Xenowing, it's Doomwing tricking them into giving their Ranger technology so that they can use it against them.
Okay. I don't want to give any points for Xenowing because the Silver Ranger should have been Keeper, not him. They should have just allowed Keeper to become a Ranger and not created some other character.
And honestly, they should have just made Keeper into Xenowing and said, "I'm Xenowing the Keeper." You know, that would have worked fine, but I guess they just didn't want to,
The problem here is that they're trying to get Sentai footage, or like Sentai suits in this case. And honestly, the Xenowing character is done so much better in Sentai.
Yes.
And every time I see him on screen, I want him to be the Sentai version, but he's not. Right. So therefore, I don't like him. So therefore, he gets no points from me.
And he only appears in 7 episodes.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, he doesn't get any points.
Because the voice actor who voiced Xenowing had passed away, and it's just like, it sucks. But like, character-wise, he doesn't really do much.
Okay, personally, and if you guys want to do it, fine. I don't want to give any points for Tyler's dad, James, either, just because, first of all, his story makes no sense. He decides that he doesn't want to, he just completely abandons Tyler and his mom. And I know that he wants to keep them safe from Fury, but that just seems like a dick move. And I don't even remember him doing much anyway. I mean, I'll give him credit for this. I'm cool with, him being the Aqua Ranger because, so Tyler trying to find his dad is, a direct thing that's lifted from the Sentai. Because, yes. Daigo was looking for his dad, too, but Daigo becomes the Silver Ranger. No, Daigo's dad becomes the Silver Ranger, Kyoryu Silver and Kyoryuger. So I'm happy that they made that one change, but that's not enough for me to want to give points for James. He's just boring, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, and he's also a deadbeat, which I don't like that.
So, do we not want to get points for Tyler's dad?
Agreed.
No, not points at all.
Okay, but the other two, for Kendall and Philip, I think we can give points. So Kendall, okay, to be fair, she has a very unfair advantage compared to these other auxiliary rangers, because she's a main character from start to finish. Like, she's in the opening credits, literally in the first episode. So she was a main character before she became a ranger. I don't know. I have a weird way of gauging her because, like, she's, you know, she's intelligent. You know, she's great for the Rangers. But I just wish that they did more with her. Like, she has a rivalry with Shelby. Like, I wish that they established more that, like, she resents Shelby because she was chosen by the Pink in her gym when she wants to be a Ranger. Like, I feel like a character like her, you could do something similar to, like, what you did with Billy back when he was in Zeo, or Cam in Ninja Storm. You know, someone who is very intelligent and helps the Rangers, but actually wants to be a Ranger fighting on the front lines. That's what Billy went through, at least for a couple of episodes before David Yost was starting to kind of lean away from being on the show. And that's what Cam went through. We got an entire episode dedicated to that. I just wish they did more like that with Kendall, because, like, you had a perfect opportunity there. So that kind of bogs her down, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
I like Kendall.
My start answer is I want to give a point to Kendall because he is a good character, in my opinion. The long answer is Kendall didn't change very much throughout, in my opinion. She stayed pretty static as a character. She had a rivalry with Shelby, but that wasn't really something that changed her character or developed her any further. It just added, you know, hey, you have a thing against Shelby, or like you and Shelby don't get along, you know.
What would have helped her character a lot more?
Right. So
envious towards.
There are things about Kendall I don't like, but her general presence is very much appreciated as the, at least as the person in the chair that's helping the Rangers from afar and later becoming a Ranger to join them in the field. I think those are two things that I want to give her credit for. And thus I give her my quarter of a point for that.
Okay. You want to give her one, two, Anthony?
Yeah, but I also want to add something onto it. Okay. What I was going to say was that what would have helped her character a lot more had she been envious towards Kendall. I mean, of course, her name is Kendall. Towards Shelby, because she was the Pink Ranger and she wanted the Inner Gym to become the Pink Ranger, but she didn't get a chance. Maybe think of it as like she's a female version of Cam from Ninja Storm, where like she wants to be on the field, she wants to be a Ranger, but she isn't, so she's stuck just being like, you know, the running the museum and being the Ranger's, like, you know, handy person, you know, like just helping out with gadgets and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you still want to give her one?
Oh yeah, sure. No, yeah. I'm just giving my explanation of like what could have helped her help me like her more than what we're already giving her, you know.
I mean, I think that she had some cool moments too, so I think I'm just going to give her the quarter point. So we have that. So let's discuss the next guy, Philip. Okay, did Philip do anything in the second season? Because I really can't remember that. And Dino Supercharged.
Barely did anything.
He wasn't very present, except for in the end, I think.
Okay.
And honestly, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't really care for Philip as a character.
Uh-huh.
For me, he was really good in the first season. When the first half of Dino Charge, he was phenomenal.
they had actually gave him a story arc with him and Coda, and then the episode where he actually becomes the Graphite Ranger, a really good episode. But after that, they didn't give him anything. They didn't give him anything to do after that.
And that's where I think Dinosaur suffered a little bit. Like, in the Sentai, the other Rangers had stuff to do, even though they're not on set every day. Like, they're off doing their own thing, but you don't really get a sense of that here with these guys.
I mean, the only thing I remember is that they were saying, like, with the Graphite Ranger, apparently originally Riley's brother was supposed to become the Graphite Ranger, but that didn't happen. That would have made up for a much better character, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
Do we want to give any points for Prince Philip?
I'm not.
I will. Only because of the first half. If he didn't give me anything the first half, then I'd definitely be agree with Riz and give him nothing.
Okay, then I think I don't think I'm gonna give him one. Just because I don't know, like, just not memorable enough. But it's okay. I mean, if Anthony wants to give him one, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally cool.
Yeah.
All right. What's up, through?
Oh, okay, God.
All of that, actually, since with all the one, we each gave a quarter point for Kendall, and then Anthony gave the quarter point for Philip, that equals up to 1 point. So thanks to Anthony's little quarter point, we are actually tied now, 12.5 all.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is actually pretty big. All right, so... time for Riz's subject, best morphing
sequence. Now, this will not only include the cinematic value of how the morphing sequence looked, it'll also include the morpher itself, any other utility that the morpher had aside from, you know, morphing the character or like any other relevance it had.
Mm-hmm.
And just, if you were to be a Ranger, which of these two sequences would you have preferred? Which morphing technique would you have wanted to be doing?
Okay, well, if we're going to talk about morphing techniques, I might lean toward Dino Charge. I mean, their morpher's a gun. Like, their morpher's a gun. There's not much else I can say.
Well, Okay, so here are my thoughts. The morpher's a gun. It's versatile. You can use it to suit people. You can use it to morph. It's like your Swiss Army knife for Power Rangers.
Pretty much.
Cinematically, the morphing sequence of Dinosaur is pretty strong. Like, I love the way their morphing is done. However, I gotta say, Dino Fury had... it won my heart for the morphing sequence. A, the music is eons better in the background than what Dinosaurs had for their morphing sequence. Two, I think cinematically, like, the effects and the sequence is a bit cooler in Dino Fury. Like, so we have elements that are Dinosaurs morph in it. But then we also have some of the SPD morph with them, like, floating in the sky. And, I don't know, just the entire package deal. To me, going on just the morphing sequence alone, Dino Fury gets it. If they had a gun in their hands, they would have, got like, straight up gotten it. But I'm a little torn, but I still think I'm not torn enough to say it's like a tie or anything. And I think Dino Fury wins my vote here.
That's where I'm going to disagree with you on that. I'm more torn towards the morphing sequences because, like, both are actually good, in my opinion. I think it's only because, like, with the shows before Dino Charge, he kind of got some mediocre morphs, I'm not gonna lie. But it's really hard to compare these two, honestly, because they're both unique in their own way. And I do like the fact that they both utilize, like, the, you know, the backgrounds and them using those, like, spandex black and white suits. Like, so I know Dino Charge uses both, but
yeah,
the suits actually help, because they don't have to worry about, like, the costumes or anything like that. They just, the Rangers can wear whatever, and they just morph, and they just, and the background just shows whatever, just them wearing, like, this black suit, you know, but transform. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little more torn on this one than you are, Riz.
And that's fair. I mean, each of us have our own journey and our own opinions, and this is why I wanted to bring it up as another category, because I knew it would spark some kind of discussion here.
Yeah.
We lean more toward Dino Fury just because... okay, if I go on Morphers, then Dino Charge gets it, because Dino Fury's Morphers are really boring. I'm not going to lie. Like, I really don't like those. But if we look at, like, the sequence themselves, I think Dino Fury is better because, Dino Charge's morphing sequence to me is... I was actually watching it while you guys were talking. Dino Charge's morphing sequence is boring. Like, they shoot their guns, and then the dinosaur heads come down, and it bites down on them, and that just makes their suit come out of nowhere. That just seems a little anticlimactic, with Dino Fury... You know, after we see the spirits of their dinosaurs show up, they jump up into the air, and then we see, like, energy get absorbed into their body that becomes their suits. That looks more like a Power Rangers morphing sequence, in my opinion. Well,
also, something I really like about Dino Fury as a whole, and we can talk about this a lot more in the miscellaneous, but I'm going to touch on it here and plant that seed for later discussion. The amount of effort they give towards the morphing grid in general in Dino Fury is a real big plus to me. So they're invoking a link to the morphing grid. Like, they're verbally saying, I now link to the morphing grid to take the powers I need to defeat my enemy. And in that statement, to me, feels very powerful, being a longtime fan, because up until Dino Fury and Beast Morpher, the morphing grid was kind of nebulous and kind of just there. And we didn't really have a good explanation of it outside of that throwaway scene that wasn't even in Dino Thunder proper, where they said a morphing grid is like this green thing.
That was in Operation Overdrive, dude.
No, that was in Dino Thunder as well.
Oh, okay.
They had like a cut. They had like a deleted scene or something. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, okay.
But it was like Ethan was late at night in the Haley's surf bar thing.
Oh, that DVD exclusive thing. Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice to see the morphing grid more involved and more referenced. I like that direction a lot, Hasbro. And I think it's worth calling out that, you know, they're paying homage to the Morphing Masters by doing so. Now, on the other side of the equation, I know a lot of people have commented on Twitter and in other podcasts I follow on Power Rangers that the Dino Fury morph sequence is super long. Like, when we're watching it, it's long.
Well, to be fair, every morphing sequence since, like, okay, first of all, I don't think it's the longest one. I think Samurai is the longest.
We try to avoid talking about Samurai.
Yeah, I know. But I don't mind long morphing sequences.
No, because my response to the people who say that is very simple. It's long to the viewer to give us something aesthetically pleasing. And the argument to me does not hold that all the, you know, the dino spirits and the power, like, coming into them and, you know, like that, whatever it is, like 15, 20 seconds of the energy flowing around as they go through the sequence, it doesn't actually take that long. To me, I think it's instantaneously done. Like, bam, done. You're morphed. The stuff before where they say Link to Morphin Grid and all that, okay, yeah, that's a little long, but honestly, everyone has that, like, that thing that they do when they're morphing where they're kind of vulnerable, but the monsters don't attack them because Toku, right? Like, it's just the unwritten rule of Tokusatsu that when your hero is Henson or morphing, you don't attack them.
Like, why isn't Sailor Moon getting attacked, like, early on when, like, she's holding her hand up in the air when she transforms?
Exactly. Or why didn't the monster cut Jason off when he's saying it's morphing time?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be very easy for him to be, like, mid-taking the morpher off his buckle, doing the hand thing and, like, saying, it's morphing time! And then them each saying, you know, Dragonzord, Tyrannosaurus, Pterodactyl, whatever. Like, they could attack them too. So, the length doesn't matter per se to me. I think as long as it's done well, I'm not going to complain. And I think it was done really well in Dino Fury. In fact, here's a controversial hot take that I'm known for giving every so often on this podcast. Dino Tsards is the alpha version morph of what Dino Fury gets later.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the black suit, which I don't think comes back. I don't think Ninja Steel and Beast Morpher has the black suit they wear.
No, they wear their ninja suits in the morphing sequence.
Yeah. So in Ninja Steel, they wear ninja suit, you're right. I don't remember Beast Morpher, but I don't think they had, like, a black suit.
They actually have black suits, actually.
Do they? I have to go over and watch their morphing suits again. But they do have. Okay. Well, anyway, the point still stands. Dino Tsards' morph walked so Dino Fury's morph could run. I don't care what y'all say. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
Well, I just give it to Dino Fury just because, like, I don't know. Most Neo, like, now I need to see Beast Morphers again to see the morphing sequence, but, like, from, like, Samurai to Ninja Steel, morphing sequences just looked so plain. Dino Fury's looked a little bit more unique, which is why I lean toward Dino Fury. Now, if we were talking about the Cure Uger Henshin, then I would have to vote for Cure Uger because of the dance that they do. That dance just makes everything better, but they don't dance in Dino Charge, so I can't give them that. But I lean toward
that. If they danced, I might have given them the point, but they don't dance.
Right. What about, do you still want to vote for Dino Charge, Anthony?
Is it possible to do a split vote for this one?
Okay, yeah, that's fine. So that's, hold on, one column, 2.5 plus 0.5. Okay, that means that Dino Fury is now ahead by 2 points, 15 to 13. And actually, you know what? Hold on, let me, hold on. I need to add another column here while we're doing that. I can't believe I actually forgot this. I forgot this one. We should talk about which suits are better, actually, because this is Tokusatsu. So, you know, you guys can talk about that real quick while I add this.
You want to talk about the suits?
Yeah.
Anthony, you can start this one off if you want, man.
like the downcharge suits a little bit more, honestly. And I don't know, it's just the aesthetic just looks very more appealing. I'm not really too much of, I mean, yeah, sure, the Dino Fury suits are decent looking in my personal opinion, but like, I don't know, just something about the aesthetic of how they're like dinosaurs are like literally on their chest, and like it looks like an actual like dinosaur, like like the logo of their logo is literally on their suits. So I don't know, that's just my personal opinion. I think Dr. suits look better in my personal opinion.
I'm gonna go against you on that. I like the Dino Fury suits a lot more. I like the lightning thing on their chest. It's semi reminiscent of the Power Rangers lightning bolt logo. I know it's from Sentai, and I know Sentai probably didn't mean to do that, but they did, and it fits so well with a season where when they morph, they're literally invoking the morphing grid in their sequence. So it's the small things like that kind of give... It's the details like that I like a lot, and I think Dino Fury suits look better. That's my opinion, though.
Understandable.
What about you, Nate?
That's weird because, okay, this is a weird one for me to talk about because, okay, I'm not a fan of the Dino Charge suits, honestly. Like, in fact, I remember actually I did a review for like the top 10 worst Power Ranger suits, and I actually had the Dino Charge.
Wow.
Damn. Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but okay.
My favorite suit, right? You know that, right, Nate?
Dude, what? Wait, Kyoryu Green is your favorite suit? Oh, wow.
Yes.
I don't know. There's too much going on in the suits for me. Like, Okay, first of all, I don't think any of the dinosaur suits are really, like, okay, maybe they're not the worst dinosaur suits, because I actually think the main three Abba Ranger / Dino Thunder suits are the worst. I really don't like those suits. I like what the suits are trying to do with, trying to look like there's, like, a dinosaur's face with, like, something biting down on the chest, but... It just, like, it's inconsistent because there's only one shoulder pad. And honestly, like, when I look at the helmets, I don't think the helmets do a great job at representing what the dinosaur is. The only helmets that have done that are the Geo-Ranger suits. Like, the original Mighty Morphin suits are the best dinosaur suits.
Yeah, when we get to the Mighty Morphin versus whatever wins this entire tournament. Hands down, we're all going to end up voting Mighty Morphin suits as the best one. Like, there's no contest.
Yeah.
It's iconic. It's what the franchise is known for. But beyond just nostalgia, that's the gold standard for Sentai and for Power Rangers of what a good suit is, I think. That and the Mega Ranger in spacesuit.
Oh, yeah.
Now, with that said, I'm not a big fan of the Dino Fury suits either. Like, I like the helmets. I think the visors are great because they look like night visors. So, I don't know. I'm not a fan of either one of these suits, honestly. But I guess maybe I would lean toward Dino Fury if only just because I think the helmets get the night vibe down. So yeah, I'd probably do that. I'd probably go with Dino Fury.
Now, my one complaint on the Dino Fury suits is the gold having the blue instead of the gray or white that they have on the side. I'm not as much of a fan of the blue over there.
Yeah, I don't think blue and gold should usually... I mean, I was willing to make a bit of an exception with Shinken gold suit, since I think it kind of meshes with like a comic relief vibe, but generally I don't think blue should be a secondary color for a Gold Ranger.
Yeah, no. So, 2 for Dinofury, 1 for Dinostar is what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if I insulted your favorite suit. I'm just not a fan of this.
Don't worry about it. It's like I said, we're all going to have our opinions. So I'm not even going to trip on it. You're being honest. I can't be mad at you for that.
They're not the worst suits. That's Lost Galaxy. I hate those suits, but we'll talk about that later. Although, if we're talking about the worst suits in both Sentai and Power Rangers, then it's Battle Fever J.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely agree with you on that one.
Okay, but that's not fair for Power Rangers talk.
Right. All right, so we have a 3-point lead for Dino Fury now, 17-14. Almost like this is a football game now, actually.
It is.
Yeah. So for miscellaneous stuff, let's so for this one, it doesn't have to be just limited to 3 points. We can bring up like, you know, subjects like I think the point of this discussion is there other stuff that we believe that Dino Fury or Dino Charge by themselves deserve extra points for, if you guys know what I mean. Like,
so
you know what I'm trying to say?
So okay, are we gonna like make miscellaneous categories and vote for each of them separately, or are we gonna just add points as we come up with a topic and not really worry about new categories?
Yeah, what's just your bad ladder point? I mean, and I think it's really important to have this, you know, especially if we get to a point where like maybe one season is kind of running away with the score. So you know, you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to start off the miscellaneous with a bit of nostalgia here for the Lord Zedd arc. I think that's worth giving Dinofury a point.
Yeah, I think so.
Because Lord Zedd's return. Okay, so when Lord Zedd first returned, I didn't like it. Honestly, because the voice that they originally had in that first episode, it bugged me. It wasn't Lord Zedd's voice. It was kind of a knockoff, like, I don't know. It just didn't sound right.
It was a nasally, gravelly voice.
Right. But then in season 2, I think they got a new voice actor, and he kills it. In my opinion, he does Robert Axelrod proud. Like, rest in peace, Robert Axelrod. But I have to think that from up there, he's giving the blessing to whoever the new actor is that, hey, you did this correct. And, like, the other thing about this, Lord Zedd's return was super well, like, it was climatic. It had a lot of good points to it. It built a story. It led the way for Cosmic Fury. And it gave us a way to explore the Morphing Masters more. So I have to give the point here for Lord Zedd on that.
And I think Dino Fury also deserves a point just for the Morphin Mass, introducing the concept of the Morphin Masters in general, because I think, like with Beast Morphers, they brought up Power Ranger, alternate Power Rangers lore a lot. Like, they made references to other seasons, at least as far as what I've seen. But Dino Fury actually expands the lore of Power Rangers in general by adding Morphin Masters. Like, that has a lot more impact on the Power Rangers franchise than I think a lot of people realize. So
Now, one thing I want to add here, where you add 1 point for the Morphing Master interconnectedness to the rest of the franchise, I also want to give the point to Dino Charge for being part of that. Because the Morphing Masters imply that they created the inner gems. So I think it helps that Dinosaurs had the inner gems, and the story that they set up there helped Hasbro create the story here. Like, if they had like just some boring old morpher with no inner gem, you couldn't have the Morphing Master interconnected out as easily. So I want to give a point there for that.
Okay. All right.
It's an indirect thing. They didn't plan it. They had no idea what's coming. But I still appreciate it being there. I also want to call another point to Dinosaurs here. For sewing the formation of the Dino Thunder gems, like, they referenced that words in there, and I think that's really cool to also build a lore further and explain things. Yeah.
But how would they form the Dino gems if it takes place in a different continuity?
So my understanding of this is up until the time skip where they go back in time and then come back to the future, they're in the Prime Universe. But then they diverge when the dinosaurs appear.
Hey, that makes sense, actually.
Go watch Back to the Future. When Doc goes back in the past, he explains to Marty, when you go back to the future, you're not going back to your future. You're going to a slightly different future where things are a little bit different. Like, for example, in the original timeline, Marty's dad's this freaking nerd. He doesn't have a good job. He's lacking all the confidence in the world. But when he comes back after all the events are done, his dad's rich. They have a lot of money. He's more confident. Biff's his servant and not the other way around. So it's the same concept here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I can say, yeah, Dinosaurs, while ending in a different continuity, still provided the origin story for our Dino Thunder gems.
Okay. There's one other thing I want to give Dino Charge credit for. I'm actually going to make this an official subject for the next one. I'll actually add this to the scoreboard, but since I don't have it here, I do want to give it to Dino Charge. I actually want to give Dino Charge the point for the theme song, because
yes,
I think Dino Charge's theme song is better than Dino Fury.
Yes, I will 100%
agree. I will agree with that as well.
Because, okay, Dino Fury's theme song and, okay, I really hate to say this, but Power Ranger theme songs recently have become way too similar. Like, they're all just, like, they're all just big, like, redone versions of, like, the Go-Go Power Rangers thing. But with Dino Charge, okay, it has Go-Go Power Rangers there. But the reason why I give it to Dino Charge is because you have to remember, Dino Charge came on at a time when, like, we had two seasons that used the Go-Go Power Rangers theme song with Samurai and Megaforce. And it did what the Zio theme song did for Go-Go Power Rangers. Like, it came off like a sequel theme song.
Yep.
So, I think the lyrics are also pretty powerful in Dinosaur's theme song. And the thing to kind of note here, Ron Wasserman is the reason we have so many good theme songs in the early seasons and in some of the Disney seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't bring him back for the Neo Saban stuff. And it really, really hurt the franchise because Samurai and Megaforce had the Troy! Zia! Crap, what's the samurai name? Jaden! Yeah, I had to think about that for a sec. So yeah, I think Dinosaurs did the theme song way better. And honestly, It's in my top five favorite themes from Power Rangers, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have theme song as an official subject on the scoreboard next time. I'm sorry, this is our first review for this, guys, so I'll have some more subject. I can't believe I didn't remember to put best suits.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you can add it now.
Well, yeah, but I'll just add it for miscellaneous.
Yeah.
Watch, if we all agree that it's the best theme song, then maybe I should add two other points just for all three of us there. Should I do that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that is actually going to screw us up now because we're back to a... Wait, what?
That's not right.
Damn it, that's not right. We're tied at 19-19. So I think in general, just for the miscellaneous, let's each talk about, which season we enjoyed more and, which do we think has the better impact on it? Because... Yeah, even though this started off as like a Dino Fury bloodbath, Dino Charge made a comeback. We gotta give it credit.
Now, is there anything else in the miscellaneous that we want to call out to maybe break the tie?
We talk about story, right? The story was
was the beginning, dude.
Okay. So that's
we did story already, we did the characters. We went over theme music, morphing sequence. Honestly, the thing that hurted Dinosaurs the most is that there wasn't... The story in Dino Fury is so strong that it gave the bloodbath early on. And honestly, some of the points in miscellaneous come out of the story as well because of Lord Zedd and the Morphing Master stuff. They also gave some relevance to Ninja Steel. With the prism, the Nexus prism, they do a lot of stuff. They really push the fold of Power Ranger lore in a way that we're not used to seeing.
Facts.
And so thematically, this is another thing I want to talk about here, and I think Nate, in the future, we're going to add a section for the thematics of a season.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is the Dino Sards, it was more of like a hero's journey, like a call to adventure kind of thing, you know? Like, these random people meet and they're thrust into a new world and they're given these powers that they didn't even know that they could have. And they were chosen to answer the call to do good and to be heroes. Dino Fury, they're chosen, but their mission isn't adventure. Their mission is to find Zeto's homeworld and fix the wrongs of, you know, the Sporix. Which is a problem that the Rafconians had, began. So, fixing the sins of the past is the big theme of Dino Fury, while A Call to Adventure is the theme in Dino Sards, I think. And, I mean, y'all can throw in your two cents here on that as well, but that's just my take on...
No, I agree with that, but who would we give the vote to, then, under those circumstances?
Well, which one resonates with you more? Did you like the idea of a call to adventure to just go off and do that, you know, the hero's journey? Or do you want to, or do you gravitate more towards fixing the sins of the past?
Sins of the past for me.
I lean more toward maybe fixing the sins of the past.
And that's where I lean as well. And this category that I'm introducing, guys, this is the lifeblood of any season. And every season has a different one, right? Like, this is something I learned from the Power Trip podcast, by the way. I want to give full credit to them for getting me to think of Power Rangers in this way. I've listened to their podcast from Mighty Morphin all the way through to Wild Force. And while I haven't heard their take on the Dino seasons yet, this is my guess on what they're going to say is the thematics in those seasons. And Michael, Nathan, if y'all are listening to this, yeah, by the way, Nathan, the guy, one of their names is Nathan. If y'all are listening to this, because I know we talked on your stream the other day for JDF's memorial. If y'all are listening, I just want to say thank you for opening my mind to a different way of thinking about Power Rangers, because y'all really kind of influenced this category a lot and brought out something that I hadn't really thought about much in the past. But yeah, I think in this one, the sins of the past being fixed by Zato and Ion with help from the rest of the team, that's a big deal here. I mean, it's just a powerful motif that they're not just randomly chosen to go do this big hero's journey. They have a purpose that they have to deal with, and they have repercussions if they don't.
And which one do you lean more toward, Anthony?
Definitely Dino Fury.
Okay. I'll definitely add overarching theme to the next one. But I think the overarching theme is, like, you know, the last thing that we should talk about, just, you know, for the major thing.
Yeah. But
with that, and if this was a football game, this would literally be a game-winning field goal. That means that Dino Fury, unless anybody else wants to say anything else, do you think that this is a good way to wrap it up?
If your math here correct.
Yeah, I have it automatically set up to, like, bring up the sum for all of these things.
Oh. Okay, yeah, I see. I looked at it wrong. We're good. Carry on.
All right, well, in that case, since we're wrapping this up, that means, ladies and gentlemen, definitively, this is fact, not opinion. Dino Fury wins with 22 points compared to Dino Charge's 19 points. With a breakdown, Dino Fury got the clean sweep with 3 points for story. For villains, it was Dino Fury winning 2.5 to half a point for Dino Charge. Dino Fury got the clean sweep for the Red Ranger. Dino Charge got the clean sweep for the Blue Ranger. A clean sweep for Dino Fury for the Green Ranger. A clean sweep for Black Ranger and Dino Charge, and a clean sweep for the Sixth Ranger with Dino Charge. We kind of split it up where Dino Charge got 2 points for Pink and Dino Fury got one. And then we gave an additional point in total for Dino Charge for their Auxiliary Rangers. 2.5 for Dino Fury on Morphing Sequence versus half a point for a Dino Charge. Best Suits, 2 for Dino Fury, 1 for Dino Charge. And then they both got 5 points each with for Miscellaneous, which in total equals to 22 to 19. So congratulations, Dino Fury. You are the winners, although we don't want to undermine Dino Charge because you're still a good season, Dino Charge.
Yeah, I just want to call out that Dino Charge is still one of my favorite seasons in the franchise. It's just that Dino Fury hit me on a different level. Particularly season 2 was extremely strong.
Yeah.
The last, what was it? 13 episodes that just dropped this past September on Netflix. Oh boy. Mm. I cannot tell you how much those episodes reinvigorated me for Power Rangers stuff. Like, I like Power Rangers all throughout, but that gave me a lot more, like, hype for what was going on.
Mm-hmm. And just a brief question. How do you guys think that this podcast went down? Like, do you think did we think that we enjoyed this?
I enjoyed doing it. I think we have some tweaking, like we mentioned, for adding in the theme song, the morphing suit, the ranger suits, thematics. But I think for a first test run of a new format, I think we'd killed it.
Yeah.
And this is definitely something I want to do again. Like, I want to put Dino Fury against Dino Thunder because I don't actually know what would happen there.
Yeah, that'll definitely be one of our next podcast, guys. Like we said, this was kind of a test run. A couple of ones that we do plan to do, just as a brief preview. I do want to, I wanted the first one that we did for us to like do something like In Space versus Time Force, but I don't know. I want to have more people on for that. Like, I want to try to get Frankie and Patrick on for that one.
Oh, God. That will be very entertaining.
Yeah. So that's one that we will definitely do. Just to see which season is the best. One that I think we should definitely do next year, as most of you know, the Sentai that we're going to be reviewing after we're done with Jetman is going to be Geki Ranger. I would like for us to do a Jungle Fury versus Geki Ranger thing after that, if you guys are down for that. Just to do a Sentai versus Power Rangers. I think that's appropriate for this podcast, don't you guys think?
Yes. I also want to say real quick, if we ever do, I'll save us the effort, actually. Let me put it that way. If for Senkenzer versus Samurai, just give all the points to Senkenzer and just be done with it.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Same for Gokai and Megaforce.
Oh, and when we do Bokenger, we are not doing Bokenger versus Operation Overdrive. That would not be fair.
It would get destroyed.
It's like that episode of the Nostalgia Critic where Cobra Kai person shows up and it's like, hey, Nostalgia Critic, did you ever do a old versus new between us and the G.I. Joe movie? No, the movie loses. Awesome! Like, it's the same thing. Like, you know, the Bokingers walk up and is like, hey, guys, could you ever do a comparison between us and Operation Overdrive? Operation Overdrive loses. Yes! You know.
Yeah.
So, we'll definitely do that. If you guys have any ideas for seasons that you would like for us to compare, you know, maybe you would like for us to compare some other great seasons, like something like Lost Galaxy versus RPM or something, like, you know, we would definitely like to compare really good seasons. And we'll do some bad seasons. Like, we'll compare Ninja Steel and Megaforce and Operation Overdrive and Megaforce. Although I do want to say that in that regard, we will be voting on who's worse. So whoever wins that, you're not actually the winner. You're the
loser.
We really hope that you enjoyed this test run. next time we will be returning to Jetman. We're hoping to end Jetman before the end of the year, and then we'll take a bit of a break for the holidays before we return with Geki Ranger. We really hope that you guys enjoyed this. If you disagree with us, you know, maybe you think that Dino Charge is better, you can feel free, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can feel free to comment down below. Please be sure to check us out at AnimeSecrets.org and check out our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you're listening to this on Spotify or iTunes, we greatly appreciate your patronage. With that said, we are the Tokyo Secrets Podcast, and we'll see you guys next time when we return to Jetman. And we hope you guys enjoyed this, and just know we are going to keep on doing this. So if you guys like to see a bunch of seasons be compared, you'll definitely be seeing more of that. So, but until next time, guys, we'll see you later.